Let's humble our hearts before Almighty Yahweh's throne of grace. Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace and come before you, seeking a blessing on this, your holy Sabbath day. We ask, Father, that you would bless the words that you've prepared this day and that they would have free course in each and every one of your servants. We ask, Father, that your will would be done in our lives and that each one of us would be attentive to doing your will and your law. We thank you, Father, for all you've done for us, for our life, health, and strength. We thank you, Father, for this ministry and for the blessings you bestowed upon each and every one of us. Help us, Father, to do our best to uphold your hands, to bless you, Father, in every way that we can, because truly we know that all things come from you, our good and the bad, our blessings and the curses. But we know we curse ourselves in not keeping your covenant law. So help us, Father, to be mindful of your commandments, that we would keep each and every one of them, that we would be a loving people, doing our best, Father, to show love one toward another, to our neighbors and our enemies. Father, we know that this is a sign of your people. When Yahshua returns, he'll be looking to find the faith in the earth, to find those people who've overcome this world and Satan the devil. That love, Father, because truly that's the key, that each one of us would love even the unlovely, so that we would be able to not only have compassion on our neighbors and our enemies, but, Father, that you would have compassion on us, because we know that without forgiveness of those that trespass against us, we won't receive the forgiveness from you. So we thank you again, Father, for sending your son, Yahshua the Messiah, to die for us, for our sins. So we're trying to be faithful, Father, in everything. So help us to overcome ourselves in this life as we seek to do that which is right. In the name of your son, Yahshua the Messiah, we humbly ask all these favors and blessings in Yahshua's name. Hallelujah. Okay, I've entitled this message, Created for His Glory. Yahshua enables his servants with the compassion and the ability to do more than most of the people. To whom much is given, much is required. Turn with me to Luke chapter 12. Luke 12, and we'll start in verse 35. It says, "Let your loins be girded about you, and your lamps burning, and be you yourselves like men looking for their master." And that's what we are doing. We're looking for Yahshua's return, brethren, as soon as possible. When he shall return from the marriage feast, that when he comes and knocks, they may straightway open to him. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, shall find watching. Truly I say to you that he shall gird himself and make them sit down to meat and shall come and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, and if in the third, and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what hour the thief was coming, he would have watched and have not left his house to be broken through. Be you also ready, for in an hour that you think not, the Son of Man comes. And verse 41, and Peter said, Rabbi, do you speak this parable to us or even to all? And the master said, Who then is the faithful and wise steward, whom his master shall set over his household, to give them their portion of food in due season? Yahweh truly blesses us and gives us the things we need in due season, brethren. He's preparing us for his second coming. Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say to you that he will set him over all that he has. But if the servant shall say in his heart, My master delays his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and the maid servants, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken, that the master of that servant shall come in a day when he expects not, and in an hour when he knows not, and shall severely scourge him, and appoint his portion with the unfaithful. And that's in Gehenna fire. If we aren't faithful over what Yahweh has given us, if we aren't doing his bidding, then we're going to be considered unfaithful. And that servant who knew his master's will and made not ready, nor did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. And to whom ever much is given, to him shall much be required. And to whom they commit much, of him will they ask the more. Yahweh has committed a lot to us, brethren. What are you doing with the gifts or blessings you were given at baptism? Are they growing with you, or are they being quenched? Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Starting in verse 1, it says, "Finally, then, brethren, we entreat and exhort you in the Master Yahshua that you receive us, that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please Elohim as you do walk." Yahweh has taught us how we're supposed to walk, brethren, that you abound more and more. For you know what charge we gave you through the Savior Yahshua. For this is the will of Yahweh, even your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication. And we know that we're supposed to abstain from that not only physically but spiritually as well. That no man transgress. Okay, no, verse 4. That each one of you know how to possess himself of his own vessel in sanctification and honor. We were created for Yahweh's glory, brethren, not for our own. Not in the passion of lust, even as the Gentiles who know not Yahweh. We know Yahweh, brethren. He expects a lot more out of us. That no man transgress and wrong his brother in the matter, because Yahweh is an avenger in all things, as also we previously warned you and testified. For Yahweh called us not for uncleanness, but in sanctification. He set us apart for a holy purpose. There is something special that Yahweh wants from each one of us. Therefore, in verse 8, he that rejects, rejects not man, but Elohim, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. He's given us his Holy Spirit, brethren. That sets us apart. That's what that sanctification is. It's set apart for a holy purpose. Verse 9, but concerning love of the brethren, you have no need that one write to you, for you yourselves are taught by Yahweh to love one another. For indeed, you do it toward all the brethren that are in all Macedonia, or in the United States, or Kenya, or the Philippines, or any other place. You can place a name there. But we know he was talking to them in Thessalonica about Macedonia, which is in Greece. But we exhort you, brethren, that you abound more and more, and that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your hands, even as we charge you, that you may walk becomingly toward them that are outside the faith and may have need of nothing. So we're supposed to be good examples to those who are outside. We must lead with Yahshua's soft approach, showing compassion to everyone, resisting the devil so he will flee from us. Turn to James or Jacob 4. Verse 7, it says, therefore, be subject to Yahweh, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to Yahweh, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, that your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of Yahweh, and he shall exalt you. It says for us to humble ourselves, and Yahweh will exalt us. In 1 Peter chapter 5, turn over there, verse 6, it says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of Yahweh, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. Be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom withstand steadfast in your faith. In other words, we can withstand him. All we have to do is resist him, and he'll flee from us. It says, knowing the same sufferings are accomplished in your brethren who are in the world, and the Elohim of grace who called you to his eternal glory in the Messiah, after that you have suffered a little while, shall himself perfect, establish, and strengthen you. What does Mother Teresa, Desmond Tutu, Martin Luther King, and Yahshua have in common? They showed love to their enemies and overcame every obstacle that was in front of them through love. They loved their fellow man more than their own lives. John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do the things which I command you. We know what Yahweh has commanded of each and every one of us. Okay? But I'm going to read a little bit. I want to look at the biographies of three of these people, starting with Mother Teresa, but I'm going to read a little bit about her. Mother Teresa's impact reached far beyond her immediate environment. People from all walks of life and from nations around the globe respected her, and when she spoke, people listened. Author and former presidential speechwriter Peggy Noonan wrote about a speech Mother Teresa gave at a national prayer breakfast in 1994. It illustrates her level of influence with others, Noonan observed. The Washington establishment was there, plus a few thousand born-again Christians, Orthodox Catholics, and Jews. Mother Teresa spoke of the Almighty, of love and family. She said we must love one another and care for one another. There were great purrs of agreement. But as the speech continued, it became more pointed. She spoke of unhappy parents in old people's homes who are hurt because they are forgotten, she asked. Are we willing to give until it hurts in order to be with our families, or do we put our own interests first? The baby boomers in the audience began to shift in their seats, and she continued, I feel the greatest destroyer of peace today is abortion. She said and told them why, in uncompromising terms, for about 1.3 seconds, there was silence. Then applause swept the room, but not everyone clapped. The president and first lady, Bill and Hillary Clinton, the vice president, Mrs. Gore, looked like seated statues at Madame Tussauds, moving not a muscle. Mother Teresa didn't stop there either. When she finished, there was almost no one she hadn't offended. at that time, if just about any other person in the world had made those statements, people's reaction would have been openly hostile. They would have booed, jeered, or stormed out. But the speaker was Mother Teresa. She was probably the most respected person on the planet at that time. So everyone listened to what she had to say, even though many of them violently agreed with it. In fact, every time that Mother Teresa spoke, people listened. Why? She was a real leader. And when the real leader speaks, people listen. Leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. She had a lot of influence. She was born Agnes Gongza Bohaksu in Skopje, Macedonia, on August 26, 1910. Her family was Albanian, of Albanian descent. And at age 12, she felt strongly the call of the Almighty. She knew she had to be a missionary to spread the love of the Messiah. At the age 18, she left her parental home in Skopje and joined the Sisters of Loreto, an Irish community of nuns with missions in India. And after a few months training in Dublin, she was sent to India, where on May 24, 1931, she took her initial vows as a nun. And from 1931 to 1948, Mother Teresa taught at the St. Mary's High School in Calcutta. But the suffering and poverty she glimpsed outside the convent walls made such a deep impression on her that in 1948 she received permission from her superiors to leave the convent school and devote herself to working among the poorest of the poor in the slums of Calcutta. Although she had no funds, she depended on divine providence, Almighty Yahweh, and started an open-air school for slum children. Soon she was joined by voluntary helpers, and financial support was also forthcoming. This made it possible for her to extend the scope of her work. And I'm not going to read the rest, but she did start the Missions of Charity, whose primary task was to love and care for those persons nobody was prepared to look after. In 1965, the society became an international religious family by a decree of Pope Paul VI. And the reason I chose her is that she was just that, a minority, her, a woman. Yet she had and wielded more power than the Pope in the end. You think about her effect. And what she did out of love for the poor. And that's something that we have to have in our hearts as well. The second person I mentioned was Desmond Tutu. Bishop Desmond Tutu was born in 1931 in Klerksdorp, Transvaal. His father was a teacher, and he himself was educated in Johannesburg Bantu High School. After leaving school, he trained first as a teacher at Pretoria Bantu Normal College, and in 1954 he graduated from the University of South Africa. After 3 years as a high school teacher, he began to study theology, being ordained as a priest in 1960. The years 62 to 66 were devoted to further theological study in England leading up to a master's in theology. In 67 to 72, he taught theology in South Africa before returning to England for 3 years as the assistant director of the Theological Institute in London. In 1975, he was appointed Dean of St. Mary's Cathedral in Johannesburg, the first black to hold that position. From 1976 to 78, he was Bishop of Lesotho, and in 1978 became the first black general secretary of the South African Council of Churches. Tutu is an honorary doctor of a number of leading universities in the USA, Britain, and Germany. Desmond Tutu has formulated his objective as a democratic and just society without racial divisions and has set forth the following points as the minimum demands: equal civil rights for all, the abolition of South Africa's passport laws, a common system of education, and the cessation of forced deportation from South Africa to the so-called homelands. The South African Council of Churches is a contact organization for the churches of South Africa and functions as a national committee for the World Council of Churches. The Boer churches have disassociated themselves from the organization as a result of the unambiguous stand it has made against apartheid. Around 80% of its members are black, and they now dominate the leading positions. Now, the third person is Martin Luther King. We all know who he is, but I'm going to read a little bit about him so that, you know, you'll have his biography as well. He was born Michael Luther King Jr., but later had his name changed to Martin. His grandfather began the family's long tenure as pastors of the Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, serving from 1914 to 1931. His father has served from then until the present, and from 1960 until his death, Martin Luther acted as co-pastor. Martin Luther attended segregated schools in Georgia, graduating from high school at the age of 15. He received a BA degree in 1948 from Morehouse College, a distinguished Negro institution of Atlanta, from which both his father and grandfather had graduated. After 3 years of theological study at Crozier Theological Seminary in Pennsylvania, which is outside Philly, where he was elected president of a predominantly white senior class, he was awarded a BD in 1951. With a fellowship won at Crozier, he enrolled in a graduate studies at Boston University, completing his residence for the doctorate in 1953 and receiving the degree in 1955. In Boston, he met and married Coretta Scott, a young woman of uncommon intellectual and artistic attainments. Two sons and two daughters were born into the family. In 1954, Martin Luther King became pastor of the Dexter Avenue Baptist Church in Montgomery, Alabama, always a strong worker for civil rights for members of his race. King was, by this time, a member of the executive committee of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, the NAACP, the leading organization of its kind in the nation. He was ready then, early in December 55, to accept the leadership of the first Negro nonviolent demonstration of contemporary times in the United States. The bus boycott, described by Gunnar John in his presentation speech in honor of the laureate, the boycott lasted 382 days, on December 21, 1956, after the Supreme Court of the United States had declared unconstitutional the laws requiring segregation on buses, Negroes and whites rode the buses as equals. During these days of boycott, King was arrested. His home was bombed. He was subject to personal abuse, but at the same time, he emerged as a Negro leader of the first rank. In 1957, he was elected president of the Southern Christian Leadership Council, the SCLC, an organization formed to provide new leadership for the now burgeoning civil rights movement. The ideals for this organization he took from Christianity, its operational techniques from Gandhi. In the 11-year period between 57 and 68, King traveled over 6 million miles and spoke over 2,500 times, appearing whenever there was injustice, protest, and action. And meanwhile, he wrote 5 books as well as numerous articles in these years. He led a massive boycott protest in Birmingham, Alabama, that caught the attention of the entire world, providing what he called a coalition of conscience and inspiring his letter from a Birmingham jail, a manifesto of the Negro Revolution. He planned and drives in Alabama for the registration of Negroes as voters. He directed the peaceful march on Washington, D.C., of 250,000 people to whom he delivered his address, "I Have a Dream." He conferred with President John F. Kennedy and campaigned for President Lyndon B. Johnson. He was arrested upwards of 20 times and assaulted at least 4 times. He was awarded 5 honorary degrees. He was named Man of the Year by Time magazine in 1963. and became not only the symbolic leader of American blacks, but also a world figure. At the age of 35, Martin Luther King was the youngest man to have received the Nobel Peace Prize when notified of his selection. He announced that he would turn over the prize money of $54,123 to the furtherance of the civil rights movement. On the evening of April 4, 1968, while standing on the balcony of his hotel room in Memphis, Tennessee, where he was to lead a protest march in sympathy with striking garbage workers of that city, he was assassinated. What these three people have in common, that they all were champions of the poor. They all received the Nobel Peace Prize, okay? But Yahshua receives the real Peace Prize. Turn with me to Psalm 41. Psalm 41. See, these people, the three that I mentioned, they truly did live up to their calling. They were called to do something special in their lives, and they did. In Psalm 41, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Blessed is he that considers the poor." Mother Teresa considered the poor. That became something that she lived for and fought for. Desmond Tutu, the same. There was inequities in his society in South Africa under apartheid, and he fought against it. Martin Luther King, the same here in America. It says, "Yahweh will deliver him in the day of evil. Yahweh will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth, and you will not deliver him to the will of his enemies." Now, David is talking about a special type of person here. See, Yahweh wants each and every one of us. If you turn over to Matthew chapter 5, we're going to continue there. Matthew chapter 5, we'll start in verse 3. It says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Remember, I've entitled this message, "Created for His Glory," because we've all been created for the glory of Almighty Yahweh. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see Yahweh. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of Elohim. Blessed are they that have been persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall reproach you, persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be very glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets that were before you." And if they persecuted the prophets, what makes us any better? They're going to persecute us as well. Turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. We'll start in verse 1. It says, "Fret not yourself because of evildoers, brethren. Neither be you envious against them that work unrighteousness. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in Yahweh and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in Yahweh, and he will give you the desires of your heart." How many of us have received the desires of our heart? Think about what you desire. Is it for the kingdom of Yahweh to come as soon as possible? We were created for Yahweh's glory, brethren, not our own. The desires of our heart should be for Yahshua to return as soon as possible so this corrupt world can be changed. I've been preaching about the 144,000 in the 1,000-year millennium that's soon coming upon this earth, not only in Africa, but I did it all summer. And a lot of these messages that I'm preaching have that common theme, see, because when you understand that the kingdom is coming to this earth, it's not going to be in heaven, you know, and all this false doctrine that the people have been taught. We have to teach these people the correct, give them the correct understanding. We have to bring their knowledge level up so they can understand who Yahweh truly is. It says, commit your way to Yahweh. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. And this is something he'll do for you every day, brethren. And he will make your righteousness to go forth as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in Yahweh and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way. You know, a lot of people out here who are wicked are doing well. And we're not supposed to envy the wicked or worry about them. It says, because of the man who bring wicked devices to pass, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil doing. We need to be concerned about what Yahweh wants us to do. We need to be concerned about how Yahweh wants us to live. For evildoers shall be cut off, but for those that wait for Yahweh, they shall inherit the earth, Haaretz, the land. For yet a little while and the wicked shall not be. Yes, you shall diligently consider his place and he shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the land and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. And isn't that what we want, brethren? Don't we want peace in our lives? The meek shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Isaiah chapter 42. The abundance of peace. It's Isaiah 42, we'll start in verse 1. It says, behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He shall bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry, nor lift up his voice, nor cause it to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick will he not quench. He will bring forth justice and truth. He will not fail, nor be discouraged, till he has set justice in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. In this manner, says El Yahweh, he that created the heavens and stretched them forth, he that spreads abroad the earth, and that comes out of it, he that gives breath to the people upon it, and the spirit to them that walk in it, I, Yahweh, have called you in righteousness, and will hold your hand, and will keep you, and will give you for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentile, to open the blind eyes, and to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am Yahweh, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to carved images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and a new thing, things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Back to Psalm 37. That's Yahshua, the fourth of those people I'm speaking about. Well, before we go to Psalm, no, go back to Psalm 37. We'll go there. Psalm 37, verse 12. The wicked plots against the just and gnashes upon him with his teeth. The owl will laugh at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy. They're oppressing the poor people and the needy. We can't do this. We have to uphold them. Just like Mother Teresa, Desmond Tutu, and Martin Luther King, Yahshua tells us that we have to uphold them. To kill such as are upright in the way. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Better is a little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but Yahweh upholds the righteous. Yahweh knows the days of the perfect, and their inheritance shall be forever. They're going to inherit eternal life. Yahweh knows the days of the perfect, and their inheritance shall be forever. Now, if we overcome, we're going to receive eternal life. They shall not be put to shame in the time of evil, and in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. And we know that we're talking about the tribulation. It's going to be a day of famine because nothing's going to be able to grow. But Yahweh's going to take care of his people. He says that we will be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish. And the enemies of Yahweh shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume. In smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borrows and pays not again. But the righteous deals graciously and lends and gives. For such as are blessed of him shall inherit the land. And they that are cursed of him shall be cut off. A man's goings are established of Yahweh. And he delights in his way. Though he falls, he shall not be utterly cast down. So if we sin, it says the righteous man falls seven times and rises yet again. But it says, for Yahweh upholds him with his hand. I have been young and now am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. All the day long he deals graciously and lends, and his seed is blessed. Talking about his children and his grandchildren. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For Yahweh loves justice and forsakes not his saints. They are preserved forever. That means they inherit eternal life, brethren. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land, the earth, Haaretz, and dwell in it forever. Back to Matthew 5:5. See, that passage goes right back to that. The mouth of the righteous talks of wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his Elohim is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. That's us, brethren, who are created for Yahweh's glory. Created for his glory is the title of this message. The law of Yahweh is in our hearts. Not one of our steps will slide. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to kill him. Yahweh will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait for Yahweh and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. We have to continue keeping the covenant, brethren. Sometimes, and our children who have been raised in the faith, the same. You know, we sometimes question or wonder, what's going to happen to these children? Even though they're watching their parents, they see what we do. They see how we believe, okay? And they constantly struggle. And then they want to come around and, you know, want to partake of your blessings. And we have to get them to understand that they can receive their own blessings by being faithful, by walking in the law of Yahweh. Wait for Yahweh, as it says in verse 34, and keep his way, his commandments, and he will exalt you to inherit the land, to be in the kingdom. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green tree in its native soil. But one passed by, and lo, he was not. Yes, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for there is a happy end to the man of peace. Martin Luther King was a man of peace. So is Desmond Tutu. Even Mother Teresa. Did they worship Yahweh? Not directly. They were religious people, and they did not have Yahweh's Holy Spirit, but Yahweh led them. They were trying to do what was right. So Yahweh will be the judge of them. But we know what's right. We have more knowledge than any of them. The question is, what are we doing with it? It says in verse 38, as for transgressors, they shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of Yahweh. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. And that time of trouble is coming very, very soon, brethren. And Yahweh helps them and rescues them. He rescues them from the wicked and saves them because they have taken refuge in him. We have to take refuge in that strong tower, which is Yahweh. Turn over back to Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. We'll look at verse 14. It says, I have long time held my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will gasp and pant together, and I will lay waste mountains and hills and dry up all the earth, their herbs, and I will make the rivers islands and will dry up the pools, and I will bring the blind by a way that they know not and paths that they know not. Will I lead them? I will make darkness light before them and crooked places straight. These things will I do, and I will not forsake them. They shall be turned back. They shall be utterly put to shame. They trust in carved images. They say to molten images, you are our Elohim. Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I send? Who is blind as he that is at peace with me, and blind as Yahweh's servant? You see many things, but you observe not. His ears are open, but he hears not. It pleased Yahweh for his righteousness' sake to magnify the law and make it honorable. But this is a people robbed and plundered. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and no one delivers. For a plunder, no one says, restore. Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18. Verse 10, it says, the name of Yahweh is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe. There's a separation between the righteous and the wicked, brethren. Psalm 59. Psalm 59, we'll start in verse 1. Deliver me from my enemies, O my Elohim. Set me on high from them that rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity, and save me from bloodthirsty men. For lo, they lie in wait for my soul. The mighty gather themselves together against me. Not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Yahweh. They run and prepare themselves without my fault. Awake to help me, and behold, even you, O Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, arise to visit all the nations. Be not merciful to any wicked transgressors. Selah. They return at evening. They howl like a dog. and go all around the city. Behold, they belch out with their mouth. Swords are in their lips. For who, say they, does hear? But you, O Yahweh, will laugh at them. You will have all the nations in derision. Because of his strength, I will give heed to you. For Elohim is my high tower. And truly, Yahweh is that for each and every one of us. The nations are blind. They can't see. They're still following these idols that we have to teach them are not mighty ones. Verse 10, my Elohim with his loving kindness will meet me. Elohim will let me see my desire upon my enemies. Kill them not, lest my people forget. Scatter them by your power and bring them down, O Yahweh, our shield. For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride, as and for cursing and lying which they speak. Consume them in wrath, consume them, so that they shall be no more. And let them know that the Elohim rules in Jacob to the ends of the earth, Selah. And at evening let them return, let them howl like a dog, and go all around the city. They shall wander up and down for food, and stay all night if they be not satisfied. But I will sing of your strength, yes, I will sing aloud of your loving kindness in the morning, for you have been my high tower and a refuge in the day of my distress. To you, O my strength, will I sing praises, for Elohim is my high tower, the Elohim of my mercy. Brethren, Yahshua is our peace. He is our example. He is the one that is directing us to be at peace with all men, to be a outlet to those who are seeking him. He's the one that's given us this direction and this cause that's in our heart. He's the one that's called us to do his bidding so that we were created for his glory, so that the people would see and praise Almighty Yahweh as they look at our lives. They're going to ask about the hope that's within us. In Isaiah chapter 11, turn with me there. That's Isaiah chapter 11. And we'll start in verse 1. It says, and there shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse, and a branch out of his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of Yahweh. And his delight shall be in the fear of Yahweh, and he shall not judge after the sight of the eyes, neither decide after the hearing of the ears, but with righteousness shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he kill the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his waist, and faithfulness the girdle of his loins. And the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den, and they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of Yahweh as the waters cover the sea. And it shall come to pass in that day that the root of Jesse, that stands for an ensign, a sign of the peoples, to him shall the nations seek, and his resting place shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that Yahweh will set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, that shall remain from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And we know Cush is Kenya, it's Africa, okay? Egypt is a part of Africa as well. But see, Yahweh is talking about a certain group of people that will be coming, a remnant. In verse 12 it says, and he shall set up an ensign, a sign for the nation, and will assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. It says, but now, in this manner says Yahweh, that created you, O Jacob, and have formed that he that formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. Remember, we're created for his glory, brethren. When you pass through the water, it says, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the water, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burnt. Neither shall the flame kindle upon you. For I am Yahweh, your Elohim, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba in your place, since you have been precious in my sight and honorable. And I have loved you, therefore will I give men in your place and peoples instead of your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your seed from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone that is called by my name. Is the name of Yahweh important? Absolutely, brethren. Everyone that is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory. We're created for the glory of Yahweh, brethren, not for our own. He's going to give us the desires of our hearts if we're sincere. It says, everyone in verse 7 that is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, yes, whom I have made. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the peoples be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring their witnesses that they may be justified. Oh, let them hear and say it is truth. You are my witnesses, says Yahweh, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no El formed, neither shall there be after me. I am Yahweh, and besides me there is no Savior. I have declared, and I have saved, and I have showed, and there is no idol among you. Therefore you are my witnesses, says Yahweh. I am El, yes, since the day that was, I am he. And there is no one that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who can hinder it? In this manner, says Yahweh, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon. And I will bring down all of them as fugitives, even the Chaldeans in the ships of their rejoicing. I am Yahweh, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. In this manner, says Yahweh, who makes a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the mighty man. They lie down together. They shall not rise up. They are extinct. They are quenched as a wick. Remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now shall it spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness, and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I give water in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people which I have formed for myself, that they might send forth my praise. We were created for Yahweh's glory, not for our own, brethren. We have a purpose. In verse 22, it says, yet you have not called upon me, O Jacob, but you have been weary of me, O Israel. You have not brought me of your sheep for burnt offerings, neither have you honored me with your sacrifices. I have not burdened you with offerings, nor wearied you with frankincense. You have brought me no sweet cane with money, neither have you filled me with the fat of your sacrifices. But you have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities. We can't be those people, brethren. We can't do that to Yahweh. I am he that blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead in remembrance. Let us plead together. Set forth your cause that you may be justified. Your first father sinned, Adam, and your teachers have transgressed against me. Yes, they have. Therefore, I will profane the princes of the sanctuary, and I will make Jacob a curse and Israel a reviling. But you know what Yahweh wants us to do, brethren? He wants us to follow after peace. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 14, it says, follow after peace with all men and the sanctification, the set apart for a holy purpose, without which no man shall see Yahweh. Are we going to be those that see Yahweh? For us to see Yahweh, we have to be a righteous seed, a righteous individual. Turn to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, verse 20 is our closing scripture. It says, and the Elohim of peace shall bruise or crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our sovereign Yahshua the Messiah be with you. Almighty Yahweh is a great, mighty one. He's looking for a people who are created for his glory. What did all these leaders have in common, other than the Nobel Peace Prize, which we know Yahshua would have earned, but, you know, they weren't giving them out at that time? It says their faith in Yahweh. They may not have known him by his name, Yahweh, I'm sure. Bishop Tutu, matter of fact, I'm sure all of them knew Yahweh's name, even Mother Teresa. They didn't care what the world thought of them. They each had a personal relationship with the Father through the Messiah. I'm saying Yahshua because that's who we believe in. A woman who wielded more influence than the Pope in a male-dominated religion. Two black men in two prejudiced societies, one in South Africa and one in 1960s America, and both won victories for their people. Last and the greatest is Yahshua, who came to bring all of us to Yahweh, to unite the Jew and the Gentile to the Father in heaven, Yahweh Most High. Yahweh is not a respective person's brethren. We were all created for his glory. But we have to overcome this life. We have to utilize the blessings that he has given each one of us, the benefits, see, the strength through his Holy Spirit, through the knowledge of Yahshua the Messiah. We have to use that which Yahweh has given us and use that power of his Holy Spirit to not only seek out those who are seeking him, but bring them to Yahshua. See, we all have greatness within us. We all have gifts of the Holy Spirit that we have to use. And truly, brethren, in this last day, Father Yahweh wants to bring those gifts to the surface. He wants to see us using the power that he has given us for his honor and glory, not for our own. May Almighty Yahweh bless each and every one of you as you realize you are created for his glory. At this time, I'd like to ask Charlie if he would close with a word of prayer. Let me go over and unmute.
Father Yahweh, thank you again for bringing our little group together here in Mobile. And we thank you for the fine sermon that Brother Greg preached. And we thank you in Yahshua's most holy name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.